It seems like we hear about mindfulness everywhere these days, but what exactly does it mean? Hi, Jill Nadeau here. I'm filling in for Larry Mueller today. In the studio with me is Heather Sorensen. She is the co-program manager of the UW Health Mindfulness Program. She's a licensed clinical social worker and has worked in a variety of clinical, school, and hospital settings, specializing in mindfulness-based psychotherapy with children, adolescents, and adults. And we're going to talk about how mindfulness works and focus a little bit on teachers and kids. What questions do you have about mindfulness? Have you used it? Does it work? Does it help you? Well, we'd like to hear from you, so give us a call. Our number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And of course, you can post on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. Heathers, thank you so much for coming in.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. So the word mindfulness, it comes with a lot of baggage, and I'm sure you've heard it all the time. What do you say to people who say this is new agey or it's out there or, you know, that kind of a thing? How do you answer that?
Well, I just invite people to learn more about it, I think, and find out what their ideas are about it and where they get that idea. Just like anything, it sort of starts to take on a kind of brand in the media.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. It's a brand.
And that brand or the images or the font or whatever it is we associate with mindfulness has very little to do with the experience of it. And it's one of those things that you can talk about or read about all day, but until you try it, practice it, something that's inherent in all of our experience, but bringing our attention to really develop and understand that kind of awareness.
So
you really
don't have
a chance to understand it.
Sure. Do you have like a definition that you use yourself for mindfulness?
Yeah, I have a few definitions I could offer. And one thing that might be helpful is just to start with what mindfulness is not.
Oh, there you go.
And often I will start this way when I'm teaching a class. But mindfulness is not about clearing our minds. And that's often a misconception. And so people feel that they're bad at mindfulness because they can't get rid of thoughts. We're really not trying to get rid of thoughts. We're just trying to be present to what's here in the present moment. It's about bringing presence to our lives. And we're never going to get rid of thoughts, but there might be a side effect of practicing mindfulness that would be maybe the thoughts settle down a little bit, or we experience a little more space or a little more awareness of thinking patterns that happen regularly.
So what brought you to mindfulness? What brought it to you and to your life?
There are probably a lot of different ways I could answer that question, but I think the basic response to that would be my own suffering, just trying to understand my own experience, anxiety, experiences of depression or struggle in my own family life. I started a family and was getting used to being a mother, having a baby, and all the changes that come with that.
Because that's not stressful at all.
Exactly, right? And even though I was a psychotherapist and thought I had all these tools for managing my own feelings and my relationships, I just felt like I was coming up short. And around the same time, found my way into a yoga class. And that was maybe my first entry into the realm of mindfulness, and then just kind of grew from there.
Sure. Now, mindfulness, meditation, are those the same thing? Or are they different in some ways? And I know they're both related to yoga in a little bit. So why don't you kind of talk a little bit about how they're related and what the differences are, if any?
Sure. I would say meditation is a broader category, and there are many different kinds of meditation, and mindfulness is an aspect or a kind of meditation. So a formal definition of mindfulness might be, well, the one that Jon Kabat-Zinn offers, who founded the mindfulness-based stress reduction program that's pretty well known across health centers in the country. He describes mindfulness as the awareness that arises from paying attention on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. And another way to think of that is to pay attention in the present moment with kindness and curiosity. So it's about being present to what's here, and it's also about the way in which we're present with this open-hearted, kind attention as best we can.
And how long have people been doing mindfulness? Is this something that's been practiced for a long time?
So it comes from ancient traditions, rooted in Eastern tradition. But I think really any spiritual or religious tradition has aspects of this kind of being present to ourselves and to other people.
And one of the things that you're studying over in your program at UW is working with teachers, because teachers have extremely stressful job. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yeah, so the UW Health Mindfulness Program works with the Madison School District right now, with MMSD, and we are working with them to bring professional development opportunities to adults within the schools. So we teach 10 and 20 hour classes for professional development that teachers and other staff are able to access, where they can learn to develop and deepen a mindfulness practice to help them with their own stress, with their own emotional regulation, and hopefully that ripples into the classroom.
We're talking with Heather Sorensen. She is the co-program manager of the UW Health Mindfulness Program, and we'd like to hear from you. We have open lines, so give us a call. Our number is 800-642-1234. If you've got any questions about mindfulness, or you're looking for a way to deal with stress in your life, we can talk about how this may be something, a tool that you can use. So with the teachers, are you hoping then that the teachers will be able to utilize these tools that they're learning in their classroom with their students?
Sometimes that's an interest that grows out of learning mindfulness practice. And when teachers or other staff feel like it's really benefited them, they want to bring it to students. And some are doing that in small ways, but our focus is really around just helping teachers manage their own day-to-day lives and stressors and modeling for their students that kind of mindful attention and awareness.
So when you say modeling, you mean that what they're doing, the kids in their class will see and do the same thing?
And benefit from, learn from. If a teacher's having a stressful day, it might look like them pausing and noticing and even saying out loud, you know, I'm feeling like my thoughts are racing, my heart is beating fast, I'm feeling like I'm having a hard time making good decisions right now, so I'm just going to take a few minutes and sit at my desk and breathe, and I want you guys to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great example. That makes a lot of sense. And we do have some phone calls coming in, so let's go there real quick. Margo in La Crosse. Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to make a couple quick comments. When I am truly mindful, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's at work, at play, at home, doing a million tasks, I have to say that I am calmer. There's no stress, and even if I have a million things to do, I get them all done because I'm mindful in the moment. And I have to say that you enjoy life a whole much more if you are mindful. And those are my comments.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for sharing those with us, Margo. Have you found that to be the case, Heather?
I think we, so many of us long to really experience our lives more vividly and in a rich way. And mindfulness often, just the practice of mindfulness can help us access that present moment experience more vividly when we're really bringing our minds and our bodies into the same place at the same time.
Don't you feel like we all say we're so stressed and everything, we've got so much to do and everything's on our mind that just being able to stop and think, we appreciate the moment more, is a good way to deal with that, and maybe life doesn't feel like it's flying by so quickly? Have you found that to be the case too?
Yeah, I think we're just caught in so much momentum in our society. There's so many things to do. There are so many distractions that unless we're intentional about it, unless we bring some sincerity to it, we're not going to learn how to be present to the food that we're tasting or the blue sky or the green leaves. Along with that comes, if we're going to be present to our lives, we have to also show up when things aren't easy and be able, you know, learning to be present with moments of anxiety or sadness or struggle.
Right. Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones. We have Terry in Amro. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
What's your comment?
Well, I love everything that I'm learning about mindfulness and meditation, if you want to go that route. But the one thing that I've noticed, and it's not very well known, is the process of breathing and breathing techniques that are being, I don't know, publicized or taught or whatever, and it's actually inaccurate. My understanding of breathing, when you're under stress, when your body's under stress or your mind is under stress and your heart rate is increased, is you're supposed to breathe in and out through your mouth. And I'm hearing a lot about breathing in through your nose or out through your nose or, you know, whatever, the nose breathing. And there's really no physiological research that would indicate that that would be appropriate. So I guess that my concern is about breathing exercises that are really not accurate. And I'm just want to put that out there.
Heather, have you come across anything that says that it's better to breathe in through your nose or your mouth?
I'm not aware of research around that. It might exist out there. And I know sometimes breathing exercises are being taught as a way of just managing stress in the moment. I would say that one way to think about mindfulness and teaching mindfulness, say, in a classroom would be that we're really choosing an anchor to bring us back to the present moment. So sometimes that could be feeling the breath in the body, no matter how you're breathing, just feeling the rise and fall of the abdomen, because that's, or the chest, or feeling the air come in and out the nose. But sometimes for people that can make the breath feel constricted or controlled in some way. And so other ways to work with mindfulness might be listening to sound or feeling the feet on the floor, rubbing the hands together, feeling that sensation. So any way in which we can be drawn into the present moment through the senses can be helpful. So I guess my response to that would be, if there are struggles with breathing exercises, that there are other ways
to do it. And let's take one more call here before the break. We've got Larry in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Larry. What do you have to tell us?
Well, I've been messing around with mindfulness for about 25 years, and I have John Kabat-Zinn's tapes. I must have played them 1,000, 1,500 times. And he's very helpful. The thing that is toughest to explain to people about mindfulness is, you know, the benefits are there, and everyone is sold on that, but they just won't do it. They won't sit down and take the time. I'm too busy. I just can't get it. And one of the things that helps me to get away from the busyness into mindfulness is, I just close my eyes and I picture sort of a breeze or a white, comfortable thing that kind of flows and moves me gently one way or the other. And it's like when I go to the dentist.
That's not stressful.
I need mindfulness to turn into the pain, which is another John Kabat-Zinn thing that he teaches people to do, not to turn away from it, but to turn into it and not be afraid or not be controlled by it.
Well, thank you, Larry. That's really a great observation. We've been talking about using mindfulness for stress reduction with Heather Sorensen, the co-program manager of the UW Health Mindfulness Program. I'm Jill Nadeau, filling in for Larry Mueller. Stay with us. We'll continue our conversation right after the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm sitting in for Larry this week as he enjoys a little time off. And we all know a vacation usually is a great way to relieve stress. Well, so is mindfulness. And we're talking about that with our guest, Heather Sorensen. She is the co-program manager of the UW Health Mindfulness Program and a licensed clinical social worker. Heather has worked in a variety of clinical, school, and hospital settings, specializing in mindfulness-based psychotherapy with children, adolescents, and adults. Do you use mindfulness or meditation to help relieve stress? Are you interested in finding out more about it? Well, join our conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. And of course, you can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org, or maybe post something on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. So Heather, right before we went to the news break, Larry had talked about one of the hardest things to get people into mindfulness is just to get them to start. And you agree that that is the case, right?
Right. I think we're really accustomed to reading, learning about things, wanting a short, easy way to bring something into our lives. And when you sign up for a mindfulness class or intend to develop a practice, you learn that it takes time and patience and really sitting down to practice every day to build that muscle of present moment attention.
And it's kind of like when you start any sport, you're not going to be great at it when you first start. You've got to practice. So it's the same thing. I think people kind of, that's a little disconnect sometimes, don't they?
And that's such a good point because initially it can feel awkward. It feels unfamiliar. It's hard to see any benefit. It just feels uncomfortable or there's restlessness or boredom. The mind is wandering, and that's just a natural part of being human. And over time, it becomes more familiar, more natural, and you can start to see these pauses open up in your life.
And once they hit that level, then things kind of open up, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. As a teacher, I'm always, every time I'm in sort of in the middle of a class where people have been struggling with practicing, and then they start to bring in these insights about their lives, what they're noticing as they slow down and pay attention, I am just reminded that, oh, it's just you slow down and practice and things pop up and you learn about yourself.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And you were talking about restlessness and whatnot. And, you know, when we talk about kids tend to be pretty restless. And when they're in a school setting and they're supposed to sit at their desk and, you know, their mind is all over and they're physically all over. And we were talking earlier that there are some research out there that says this type of training for kids helps them. It helps them relieve stress. It helps them calm them down. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I could talk a little bit about a study that was done at the Center for Healthy Minds. The principal investigator was Lisa Fluck, and this is with 4- and 5-year-olds. And I was one of the teachers for this study. And initially I thought, this is going to be really hard. They're
four
so
and
little
five.
And
yeah.
their attention spans are so short. But they had 20-minute lessons 3 times a week in their classrooms. And their teachers also, many of them went through an 8-week mindfulness training as well, so they could reinforce some of what they were learning. And the outcomes of that study were really interesting. The kids in the study showed increased emotional regulation skills, increased cognitive flexibility. So we know kids like routine, but we can't always keep the routine the same. Maybe the parent who usually brings them to school is sick, or their best friend isn't at school, or a fire drill happens. And so cognitive flexibility would be the ability to just roll with it a little bit more.
Roll with the punches.
And also an increase in social, pro-social behavior like sharing and caring. There's an interesting finding of this study, which is that those benefits didn't last. They did a follow-up measure at 3 months after the kids had been away from school and away from the adults that were reinforcing some of these skills, and they did not find that the benefits stuck. And so I think if you're interested in bringing mindfulness to kids, that it's really helpful to have a parent or an adult in their lives who practices as well, who can just continue to reinforce the skills with them.
Kind of like reading over the summer and keep those muscles
exactly.
going, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the phones because we have a number of people that want to talk on this subject. First up is Daryl in Madison. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, what's your comment for us?
Yes, I was just listening in over my lunch break, and this is a subject that I really take a lot of interest in. I practice Wing Chun, also do Qigong breathing, but I just recently had started the Wim Hof breathing technique, Heather, and I was just wondering if that's something you're familiar with and have heard of?
I'm not. I'm curious now.
Sure. This is a gentleman, long story short, he had lost his wife. He was from the Netherlands, but he kind of learned this breathing technique because he was kind of questioning life, the meaning of everything, and then he has developed this breathing technique that they have scientifically studied. They call him, nicknaming the Iceman, because he has broken records and be able to withstand cold temperatures from this breathing technique and exercise.
Iceman, you said, right? I-C-E?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then he can also, like, will raise his adrenaline levels to someone that is about to take levels of, like, their first bungee jump. So he has he's climbed Mount Everest in just shorts, and also he's done a marathon across the desert without water. I started practicing this about a year ago, but this breathing technique essentially is like just 30 breaths in succession. It's kind of increasing your oxygen, and then you have like a recovery breath that you try to hold. You hold to the point of kind of like a gasping point. You don't want to hold it to your purple, but to where you feel you need to take a breath. And it's really amazing once you're into that point of that recovery breath of how meditative it is. And actually, you'll be surprised at how long you can actually sit in that kind of like, you know, really relaxed state, and it really focuses you in the now when you're talking about, you know, being present. The first couple of times, as you said, you know, in the segment before, it takes practice, because the first couple of times, you know, it might make you a little dizzy, kind of you'll get some tingly feelings, but with, you know, the practice with it, you know, I found that it, you know, it relieves stress, you know, and it keeps your mind racing. Also at night when I'm laying down there, you know, and your mind is kind of racing, I can run through this exercise and it really relaxes, you know, immediately. It's only like, you know, a 5-minute, you know, drill for this breathing exercise.
Well, great. Thank you, Daryl. Something new for you to look into. I'm sure there's something new every week out there for you to look at, Heather.
There are so many possibilities. And I think Daryl brings up an interesting thing, which is many of us come to these techniques because we're trying to develop a particular skill. I mean, that almost sounds like a superpower.
It does.
And that's often what brings us in the classroom. And then part of the way that we teach mindfulness at UW Health is to really invite people to accept themselves as they are and start to practice being okay with the moment as it is. And so that can be kind of a paradox.
Yeah, that's true. Well, speaking of classes at UW, let's go to Jessica in Racine. Jessica, you have a question?
Well, I'm just going to say hello to Heather. Actually, we have spoken. But to let the listening audience know that there are opportunities outside of Madison to take mindfulness-based stress reduction courses. I'm a qualified teacher here in Southeast Wisconsin and running courses. I run 4 cycles a year. And the opportunities do exist in other parts of Wisconsin other than Madison, although Heather's program is wonderful and they do an amazing job. But for those who might not be able to travel all the way to Madison for an 8-week course, especially down here in Racine, Kenosha, South Milwaukee, consider looking into the courses that are offered here.
Well, thank you, Jessica. That's
Hi,
very
Jessica.
True.
I remember talking with you.
And what are some of the courses you offer here in Madison?
So the UW Health Mindfulness Program has been around for almost 25 years. Catherine Bonus was the teacher who started the program, and it's grown to have about 15 of us. Catherine's still teaching as well, who are working part-time teaching different classes. The heart of our program is the mindfulness-based stress reduction class, which is an 8-week class that was developed by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's been mentioned a couple times. We also teach a class for middle schoolers and a class for high schoolers. And then some other fun classes like contemplative photography, mindful drawing. Right now there's a mindfulness and aging class that one of our teachers, Diana Grove, is teaching.
So that sounds really interesting. And, you know, like Jessica was saying, you know, here in Madison, probably have a lot more opportunities to take a class like this. If someone is elsewhere in the state, is there a place where they can, you know, research online maybe where they could find other places that teach?
There are a lot of resources online, and sometimes there are mindfulness classes. There are many in Madison, and there are more and more opportunities in other parts of the state. And they can certainly call our program and ask if we're aware of, we have many connections in different parts of the state, like I know of Jessica's program in Racine. So happy to help with that.
So now, can someone just kind of hang out a shingle and say, hey, I'm teaching mindfulness? Do they have to have any kind of certification? I mean, how do we know that the teacher we're going to is qualified?
That's an interesting question, and it's something that's a hot topic among people teaching mindfulness.
I would imagine.
And the UMass Center for Mindfulness that Jon Kabat-Zinn founded has a certification program for teachers, and there's also one on the West Coast at UC San Diego. So there are certifications and trainings that people can go to become certified in mindfulness-based stress reduction. There are a lot of different kinds of trainings, and really word of mouth is a great way to find a good teacher.
And everybody has to kind of find one that fits with their own personalities, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to the phone. And if you have a question for Heather, please give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. We have a couple of open lines, so please give us a call. Jody in New Glarus. Hi, Jody.
Hi. I had the great fortune to take an MBSR class this winter with Heather and Catherine Bonus. And I've been a lifelong sort of off and on again practitioner of meditation and such, but the MBSR class really kind of pushed me to create a opportunity for myself to practice daily. And at first that was really challenging. And then it became a necessity. And honestly, it was an absolute game changer. I had some really stressful things going on in my personal life at the time, and I'm not really sure how I would have handled that if I hadn't had the MBSR class going on simultaneously. And so I'm just giving a plug for the great program that they have going on, and for Heather. So thank you.
Hi, Jody. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you very much, Jody. And we actually had Lorraine email to say that she took the UW Health Mindfulness Meditation course last summer to help with pain and anxiety. And it's been a powerful perspective changer. She looks forward to her daily practice. And that's another thing. It's not just stress that what you can use mindfulness for, right? There's other things. I mean, UW offers these classes for patients who I'm sure there's stress involved, but there's other things too, right?
People come to classes for a variety of different reasons. And one of the misconceptions is that mindfulness is about getting rid of stress, and it's really not. We're human. We're going to have stressors in our lives, but it can give us a different perspective and a way of relating to stress differently. And that can apply to relationships. It can apply to medical issues, emotional issues, job stress. So people are brought into the room for all kinds of different reasons, but there's so much similarity in the kinds of patterns and reactivity that people find show up in their lives. So.
Okay. Well, let's go back to those phones then. We have got Maurice in Madison. Hi, Maurice.
Hi, I'd just like to mention something. A caller earlier talked about a breathing technique that actually is rooted in yogic pranayama, and it's a specific technique called Basriga of rapid breathing. You could look that up on Google. This Bhasrika. The other thing is that you don't have to do official mindfulness. There's free classes at Monona Terrace in the fall and in the spring taught by Sarah Moore, who's a psychiatrist at Dean Care, as well as various Zen groups in Madison. And probably around the state, there's a Thich Nhat Hanh group in Madison. His approach is specifically about being in the present moment and using mindfulness. And you can go to that group. These things are all free. They accept donations. Except the Monona Terrace accepts donations, too. But that is really free.
Okay.
And then you have yoga there, too.
Oh, well, great, Maurice. Thank you very much for those in Madison. That's helpful. Now, you teach classes, you said, for adolescents, for kids, and you were talking about the kids, the little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they get older, how are they different teaching than the little ones?
Well, with the middle school and teen classes, we often have kids who are choosing to take the class because they're curious, and then sometimes kids who have been referred by a therapist or a doctor or their parents think it's a really good idea for them. And so they're not, in comparison to the adult classes, they're not always bought in when they come into class. So part of our job is to just help them see it as an experiment and take what's useful to them and start to learn about themselves and about these practices and how they might show up in their own lives and help them with things that are important to them. So we play some games. We do a lot of community building. We do shorter practices. We make connections to real stressors for teens. And the feedback that we get, I think, falls into three different categories where teens are reporting some benefit, and one is community. They really appreciate being with other teens in an environment that typically comes to be pretty non-judgmental, pretty kind and curious and compassionate. Because we're learning mindfulness, that's kind of how the culture of the group evolves. And they just really appreciate being in a place where they can be themselves. And then self-compassion, accepting themselves more fully, accepting others, and also accepting their emotions and feeling like they have a little bit more pause and choice in terms of dealing with stressful situations and emotions that pop up in their lives.
Because that age, they really think that everything revolves around them and everything that happens is against them. And I mean, there's a lot of like hormone issues and everything else. So I can see how that would really help them deal with those situations.
There's so much power in the way as a teenager, you feel like people are looking at you and judging you all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we're really able to talk about the thoughts that come up in our minds without our permission and how to work with them and how natural and human they are. So.
Great. Okay. Well, let's go back to Debbie is calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Debbie.
Yes. Hi.
What did you have to talk about?
Well, I wanted to talk about the fact that I took a class here in Milwaukee. At the JCC, I took a class called Mindful Self-Compassion. I was taught by somebody named Jamie Lynn, and it was a wonderful class. I'm also a parent, and I felt it was super helpful as a parent. I'm also a Tai Chi instructor and an occupational therapist. So, you know, I have all that background, but I felt like the class itself was very beneficial to a parent in guiding their child in mindfulness. Because if you're compassionate to yourself, you're compassionate to others.
Do you find that to be true, Heather?
Yes, I am a parent, and I think that can make a big impact on parenting. And so often when parents are frustrated because their teens won't take a mindfulness class, my recommendation is try taking one yourself, because just slowing down and noticing kind of those patterns we get stuck in as parents can help loosen things up and bring a little bit more kindness and space into our family lives.
So. Do you practice with your kids?
I don't practice with my kids, but my kids know that I practice and that it's part of how I manage my own stress and my own struggles. And I have a 17-year-old who asked to take the teen class after watching me go teach it for a number of years. He finally said, "What's your job again?"
And then they never
signed
know.
Up to take it with one of the other teachers, which is a surprise.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, that must have been kind of neat for you to say, "Oh, I guess maybe it's rubbing off, huh?"
Yeah. I don't want to push it too hard because I want it to be something that they come to out of their own interest. So.
Right, right. Now, we have someone who is waiting, but we're probably not going to have time to take his concern. But what about teaching kids with, you know, ADD or autism? I mean, he was concerned that maybe this wasn't a good technique, but this is a technique that's used, isn't it?
So one of the outcomes from that studies are showing mindfulness can bring with kids is increased focus and increased ability to pay attention. So the imagining a kid who has a hard time sitting still going to a class where they're sitting still and practicing some kind of meditation understandably doesn't make sense. But we do, that's why we do a lot of short practices. We do movement practices, walking meditation, and give kids ways to work with restlessness and start to get to know how those things show up in their bodies. So I think the benefit can be this self-awareness that grows, no matter whether the problem is or the struggle is something like ADD or anxiety or depression or physical issues. Kids and adults start to get to know themselves better and maybe make different choices about how they're taking care of themselves and managing a hard day.
So for someone sitting out there right now who's thinking, well, this sounds kind of interesting, but what would it be like? Is there something that they can do sitting there, you know, listening to the radio, like a breathing technique or some kind of, looking at something in your mind, visualization? I knew there was a word for it. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest to them that they do something real simple that they could maybe see, oh, well, I can understand this a little bit more. Do you have anything in mind? I know I kind of put you on the spot there.
No, that's fine. I mean, I think there are a lot of different ways to play with mindfulness. You could just go for a walk and stay in your senses. So feeling your feet walking on the ground, noticing colors, noticing sounds in the environment, and noticing how often our mind pulls us away from the present moment. And that's part of the practice. And so no need to beat yourself up over that. But just when you find your mind wandering, notice it and kindly bring yourself back to your senses. And you can, you know, when you're waiting in line or have some downtime, instead of pulling out your phone, just look around, see what's happening around you. Some simple ways to connect.
I think you hit on something that is probably really important, in that it's, we've got all this stuff distracting us. Don't turn on the music, don't turn on, unless it's something, you know what I'm saying, but don't turn off the phone. Just realize what's going on around you. Is that kind of the main crux
exactly.
of this?
Yeah. Okay. How, when you're having a conversation, see what it's like to really listen.
All right. Well, thank you so much with being with us, Heather. We've been talking with Heather Sorensen. She is a co-program manager of the UW Health Mindfulness Program. Thanks to Michelle Johnson, our executive producer and on-air producer this week, and to Dave Potras for technical direction. We are going to go to news. We'll be back tomorrow with David Drake with the Wisconsin Department of Resources. Thank you.